Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to, Well Armed Radio, where freedom, snorting up a storm here, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our weekly, vigorous, relentless, and hopefully ruthless pursuit of freedom. We are broadcasting live from the very well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. Always my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and host of Well Armed Radio. And encourage you to be part of the show if you wish with your calls, ideas, questions, comments, criticism. 563-999-3787 is the studio number here, 563-999-3787. Start the show with the usual warning, no sacred cows here. And if anybody feels so inclined, first 50 minutes, open line, feel free to call in with a topic you want to discuss, something maybe I don't hit this week, the previous week, and then... That's up to you. After the first 15 minutes, and I like to keep it, certainly encourage your calls, but keep it to the content, the topic at hand. And that would be great. So we're now into, is it meteorological spring or is it astronomical spring? I forget which is which, because there is a difference, but it's one of those. We're officially spring now. And nice weekend here in Southeast Wisconsin. We had decent weather on Friday. I think it was maybe like mid-40s and sun. Saturday was like almost 60, I think, and sunny. And then today was, again, I think 60, 65 and sunny. So we're into the meat of spring, and hopefully that continues, because it sure feels good to be outside, a little bit of sun in your face, and do some outside stuff, which for me is golfing and hopefully getting back on the yacht pretty soon here. I used to always call like mid-March my first day of boating season. That was my target first day, but it seems like more often than not, I mean, there has definitely been years where I got out in March once or twice with my old boat, which I would keep in my garage. And then my new boat, it's stored down on the river. It's kept in a warehouse, but they put it in with a lift every time for me. It's a big boat that you need those big travel lifts with the big straps that go underneath the boat to lift the boat. And so they drop it in the well every time I want to use it, which is only on Saturdays. And so I just need to arrange it with them. I probably, honestly, years past, I probably would have been on my boat on Saturday because it was mid-50s or higher, sunny. I probably would have had the boat out, my old trailer boat, which I could just pull out of my garage. I thought about asking the marina staff to get my boat prepped for this weekend, but I didn't think the weather was going to be warm enough, and it turned out being a little warmer than I thought. But so I kind of missed it. So when I say that I haven't been able to boat in March for a couple of years, this year I probably could have. I mean, I probably would have. Otherwise, it seems like it's been April before we end up getting the boat out. Hopefully that season begins here quickly. So this is what we did, and this is going to lead into my first little tiny topic. First thing we did was not first thing, Saturday, I get up in the mornings and go work out, and then I head to the afternoons is where we take the dog hiking. So we try to get around the state. When I say around the state, we're, again, probably in the lower third, eastern half. Ice Age Trail, which we've hit hundreds of miles of between Devil's Lake and, Point Beach up in Two Rivers. That's we haven't hit the entire Ice Age Trail in between those two, but we've hit most of it. I should say we've hit the entire Ice Age Trail between where it goes through the Kettle Moraine from south of Whitewater by Rice Lake, Whitewater Lake, all the way up to essentially like Elkhart Lake. I don't do the connector sections. There's parts of the Ice Age Trail that are connector. They call them connector routes that are on country roads, and they're not marked. So you're essentially just walking country road. But so Saturday we went to a hike up in Lodi, Merrimack. We started at if you've ever gone to Devil's Lake and taken the ferry, we started at the southern, pretty close to the southern loading point for the ferry that goes across Lake Wisconsin. And then I dropped off Kim, my daughter, and the dog, Gus, the German Shepherd, at that location. Again, it wasn't exactly at the launch, but right where the Ice Age Trail crosses Highway 113. And then I drove the truck down to the ending point, which is by Gibraltar Rock. So if you've never been to Gibraltar Rock, super, super cool. I mean, a lot of people have been to Devil's Lake. I mean, that's like the most popular state park in the state. But a lot of people haven't heard of Gibraltar's Rock, and it's probably 15 minutes away, not including the ferry ride. So you figure with the ferry ride, maybe it's a half hour to get over there. But it's just amazing, amazing rocky outcropping with these cliffs. And the eastern side of the bluff is a sloping, a slope. You walk up this slope. And then the western face of Gibraltar Rock, I guess it's more southwestern face, is cliffs. And so it's just super cool. So we hiked from the southern landing of the ferry, essentially through the Ice Age Trail down to Gibraltar Rock. And that was what we did Saturday afternoon. Ended up being about 4.5 miles-ish, pretty much uphill the whole way until the very end. And then at the last part, after you see that, so we're finishing with this beautiful view from the top of Gibraltar Rock, which is, I want to say it's about, let's see, the cliffs themselves, I'm trying to think from elevation. I think you're at 1,200 and some feet of elevation, 1,200, 1,300, and then you go down to 500, down to 800 feet. So I want to say it's probably, 400 or 500 foot cliffs, which that's, 40, 50 story building. So it's a pretty hefty cliff. A hefty bluff. And so we got done with that, came back. One thing funny about that, carry related. So I open carry when we go on hikes, and Gibraltar Rock, my perception is that the Lodi area attracts a lot of retired Madison liberals. I could be wrong there. There's certainly a ton of Trump signs around when you're driving around, but I just get the feeling that it's a popular place. Gibraltar Rock is a popular place for liberals to hike. And then I always, when we pull into the parking lots of these places where we go hiking, I'm always joking with my fiance that I can tell who people voted for by the cars there, because Subarus and Priuses, those are your Democrat voters. Then you've got the Jeeps and, your other kinds of SUVs, which those are, probably split. But the Subarus and Priuses, you can pretty much count on, not universally, but high probability, you're probably 75% and above your liberal voters. So we get to Gibraltar Rock. We hike up to the top, and I'm open carrying, there's a group of three elderly, I shouldn't say, I don't know if elderly is the right word, a group of three retirement age people sitting up there. I guess I don't know if that qualifies as elderly. Elderly maybe is like, 80 or 90. So these, we'll just call them retirement age. We'll call them 60s or 70s. And I can't say for certain, but my gut feeling is that they were liberals, because you're on the top of Gibraltar Rock. There's a nice breeze up there. You're outdoors. And they're all wearing masks. So I just couldn't help but think, this odds are probably in the favor that these are liberals here. And maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But surprisingly, so I stroll up, and they're sitting on some of the rocky outcroppings about 10 feet back from the edge of the cliff. And then I come down and step down the rocky ledge to kind of go towards the edge. I didn't go right up to the edge because, with it being that windy, you're always worried. Like when you're a kid, I don't think you think about it as much. But now when I'm older, I'm like, I wouldn't want to lose my balance. And gust of wind comes up. And it's funny because how many times are you any place when a gust of wind comes up and makes you lose your balance? But all of a sudden, here you are standing on the side of a cliff, and you don't want to get within 3 feet of it because you're worried about losing your balance. And maybe it's because with nothing there, maybe that kind of stimulates or triggers your vertigo, because you can sit there. Try this sometime. Walk down either the yellow or like a yellow parking lot stripe or the white parking lot stripe, and just walking right exactly on the stripe, which is only 4 inches wide. And you can do that and do it super, super fast. Just boom, boom, boom. And then try walking down a train track, which is the same thickness, but it's just the fact that you're elevated a little bit just gives you, it just makes it harder to balance. And I get train tracks are, the metal's a little bit more slippery, and train tracks, I think there is slight arch in them, but just not having something like, I was down by Lake, by Wind Point in Racine, and there's an area where there's these metal stanchions, they jut out into the lake, and they have a kind of an I-beam, and it's a wide I-beam. It's probably 10 inches wide, but they're probably elevated 10 feet over the water. There's rocks below them. The waves are crashing into the rocks. You can kind of walk out on. Now, a 10-inch wide I-beam, you put a 10-inch wide stripe on a parking lot, and you and I could do pirouettes down that, no problem. But then lift the 10 feet off the ground, and just the fact that there's no ground around you, I don't know if that makes it harder to establish your balance because the visual isn't there, or if you just psych yourself out. But I'm up there. This is several years ago, but I'm up there walking out on this, and it's 10 inches wide, which is super wide. I mean, it was a slightly breezy, but not super breezy, but I'm having a hard time. I start feeling like I'm spinning. I look down and there's the water moving underneath you. The waves are, and I almost like felt that vertigo, like I was losing my balance. So I don't know what the physiological science behind that is. If it's because, you know, you need that visual, or because the water moving underneath makes you lose your balance. But it's kind of the same thing when you're up at on the edge of a cliff where we were in Gibraltar Rocks. Like, it just makes you nervous. To any other time, I mean, walk to the edge of a parking lot and stand on the curb, no problem. But you don't have a 100-foot fall in front of you. So there's just something about that. I don't know if it's all in your head or if there is a genuine deficit when you can't physically see something, when it's just air in front of you and the ground is, you know, right in front of the cliffs. There's, because it doesn't drop straight off, but there's probably 100-foot drop, maybe a little bit more in some spots, maybe a couple hundred feet. But yeah, just it's always interesting to me when you're right up there on the edge of like cliffs, how it's flat, it's stable, but it just, I don't know, you worry about losing your balance. So anyway, where I was going with this, I'm open carrying. I step out there to get close to the edge. There's these three people sitting close by, and I was kind of expecting them, because they struck me as liberals, to scrunch up their nose and not talk to me or give me the cold shoulder. But they were really super pleasant. They're like, oh, why don't you hang around for a few minutes? The turkey vultures will be back, because there's these turkey vultures swirling in the wind up there by Gibraltar Rock. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. I wondered if they were liberals, and if they were, why, maybe they thought I was a cop. I mean, I get that a lot of people assume I'm a cop or something, but they were awful pleasant, for liberals, because usually liberals don't put up with that kind of stuff. I mean, they'll give you a nasty look, and, cause you're the devil incarnate if you're open carrying. And again, I'm in Lodi, which is, I don't know, half hour from Madison, but I get the impression that it's a frequent recreation area for Madison liberals. Next thing I was going to talk about. So we get done hiking. We come back. We watch a movie, and a Netflix movie. And this movie is called No Escape. I think it's from 2015. It's with Owen Wilson. I don't know the female lead. I didn't really recognize any of the other actors. I don't think there's any other prominent actors in the film. I think Owen Wilson was the only kind of prominent actor in this film, but it was called No Escape. And the premise of this movie is a guy, his wife, and his two daughters are going to some Asian country. Maybe they said the country, maybe they didn't, but some Asian country. And he is a contractor. We got Zach in from New Richmond. Zach, good to have you with. And we also have Tommy Lager is on the chat here as well. So good to have you guys both. Little shout out to both you guys there. So this movie, No Escape, the premise is this guy, his wife, and his two daughters, I'm going to guess his daughters were probably four to 6 years old, something like that. And the movie starts, they're flying over to this Asian country. And again, I don't remember if they named the country, but it borders Vietnam, because Vietnam comes into play in the movie later. So again, maybe they did name the country, but so they're get there, they go to, and it kind of sets a scene where, you know, some of the separate scene shots that shows like these markets, the wet markets out there in Asia. And, you know, I've never vacationed in Asia. In fact, I've never vacationed. I've been to Canada. Other than that, I don't think I've ever been outside of the United States. But it would be a shock to the system for an American when you go over there and you see this, you know, the crowded streets, the mopeds. They don't have as many necessarily full-size cars. It's just mopeds flying around these, I don't want to call them ghettos, but these, and again, I don't want to call them slums either, because it's, but just these dense Asian neighborhoods. And so they, it kind of gives you just a little bit of the creepy feeling, because look, we're Americans. We're used to big cars, big houses, big wide roads, interstates. I mean, you know, and so when you go to a country in Southeast Asia where the population density is so huge, and you get to some of those, and don't get me wrong, there's some places in Southeast Asia where you'd feel like you're, you wouldn't feel like you're in America, but I mean, you would feel like you're in a very metropolitan area. But then you go just a little bit outside of the major cities, and I mean a little bit, like, it, you know, you've got, I guess for a lack of a better word, slums, little shanty towns type all around these big metropolitan areas. Like, I think you go to like Taipei, Taiwan, you've got these ultra urban or ultra modern skyscrapers. You know, some of the largest skyscrapers in the world are in Taipei. I think Taipei 101 is one of them. And then you go a few miles away and you're in just these absolute shanty town slums. And here in America, you could go a few miles away and you've got some urban ghetto, but they're not really like these shanty town slums. I guess unless you're in San Francisco, then you've got the homeless population living in tent cities and that kind of thing. But so wherever they are, they're in an Asian country where they've got things that kind of like the kind of hotels where from online, the pictures look really nice. Then you get there and you're like, yeah, it looked really nice, but it's just a little bit rough around the edges. The decor is really dated, you know, hasn't been remodeled since it was built in, you know, 1981. So they get there and they start setting this scene where you just kind of get this bit, whether it's through the music or whether it's through just, it was just interesting how they get you, they start getting you feeling uncomfortable, because they can, you know, sometimes they can do movies and they're set in Southeast Asia and it gives you this like earthy world traveler, happy, fulfilled, cosmopolitan feeling, like that you're just, you know, but just, I don't know if it was the music or if it was just the how they set this thing up, but you start kind of getting the creeps. And so this guy gets there, they check into the hotel, and then he's got a banner there welcoming him into in the lobby, because he's with this contract, this company that I guess is doing some water project in this Southeast Asian country. And so gets to the hotel, gets up to the room, and then you see, again, the hotel kind of looked nice at first, but then you realize they get to the room and like he picks up the phone and it's like a phone from like corded phone from 1987, and it doesn't work. And there's, you know, old appliances that look kind of sketch. And so all of a sudden you realize, yeah, this isn't like exactly a 4-star hotel here. You're in Southeast Asia. And then he goes out the next morning to get a newspaper. And things just aren't kind of adding up for him. So he's walking through an Asian market. There's the live, you know, fish swimming around in eel swimming around in a bucket. And then they pull it out and chop the head off and give it to someone to take to go eat. I mean, that's those Asian wet markets. So again, it just starts to give you a little bit of creep. So all of a sudden he's in this one, he's trying to buy a newspaper, and all of a sudden he hears this like thumping of this cadence, and there's like the military, the government police on one side coming down this, the road in this little alleyway of this Asian market, Asian shanty town. And then on the other side, you can tell there's like some kind of rebel group and they're coming together. And all of a sudden you realize like you're literally in a third world country and shit's about to go down. Some kind of civil unrest is about to go down. And so I'm watching this and it gave me the creeps. And I thought to myself, God, this is, I mean, I wouldn't go near a place like that unarmed. I mean, if I was, first off, if there's places you don't think you'd feel safe, you just don't go there. But then there's other places where maybe you have to go and you're like, if I go there, I'm going armed. This is one of those places I would never go. And I said that to my fiance. We're watching this movie last night. And I said, God, I was like, this would just give me the creeps to be there unarmed with zero protection except, you know, hand-to-hand combat. So police and this warring or this faction of rioters, you know, the rioters start throwing rocks at the police, and then the police go to try to whatever. It's just, it's a big confrontation. This guy's running through the, ducking through vendors. Again, I say vendors, but like this Asian flea market, ducking through vendor booths or vendor stands to try to escape from this clash between the government police and the mob rioters, these rebel groups that they're clashing with. So he eventually makes it back to his hotel. By this time, this civil unrest is quelling up. And then I also thought to myself, as I'm watching this, I said to my fiance, Kim, I said, this is America last summer in some places, where you just got this civil unrest / riot mob. And I won't undersell it like the media does. It's rioting and mob. It feels like third world activity. So I'm watching this, and this movie just, it's the kind of movie that, you know, sheepdogs like you and I, it just gives you the creeps, because this is the reason why we conceal carry or carry period. It's the reason why we own so many guns, to protect ourselves from this kind of shit. And here's this third world country where they have no Second Amendment. They have no right to keep and bear arms. They have, and you're just a vulnerable sitting duck, essentially. So the movie's just creeping me out. I'm on the edge of my seat. I don't think this was like some critically acclaimed movie, but I was into it. And I said to Kim, I said, you know, what makes this so creepy is this was America. This was Kenosha. This was Minneapolis. This was Chicago. I mean, last summer. And granted, those places, you didn't have to drive very far to get out of it, to escape. You know, you might be leaving your home behind. You know, I have friends that live in Kenosha, and they were scared shitless. They were, you know, 15, 20 blocks away from where all the stuff went down, but still, you never know where the stuff's going to spill over into the streets and the lawlessness. And so it freaks you out. But I'm watching this movie, and that was one of the things. For first, I thought, here's America last summer. And the second thing I thought is, this could be more places this summer. I mean, Wauwatosa last summer. I mean, this summer it could be, I'm in New Berlin. It could be New Berlin. It could be Brookfield. It could be Janesville. It could be, you know, all it takes is one cop to use his gun, and then the local activists, not even the local activist crowd, but the media picks up on it. They take issue with it. And then the professional rioters and shit stirrers from all around the country flood in, and all of a sudden you've got your, no matter where you are, and I don't care if you're living in Little Chute, Wisconsin, or Janesville, or Mount Horeb, or any one of those places could turn into ground zero. I mean, granted, the farther out you get, you know, you get to the middle of, I'm trying to think of where some, Hixton. You get to Hixton, Wisconsin. I think that's some little tiny place between Eau Claire and, between Eau Claire and the Dells. Hixton, Wisconsin, I know, because I drive through there when I'm coming back from Minneapolis. But, you know, that's a place that's so small, you're probably, maybe you're safe from riots there, but you know, your mid-sized cities, your Janesvilles, your Beloits, your certainly urban areas of suburban areas of urban areas, Appleton, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, I mean, Menasha, all those places, Green Bay, all those kinds of places, even Manitowoc and Two Rivers. I mean, those are big enough cities to where this kind of, anything that happens there, a cop shoots a black guy, and the media latches on it, and boom, you've got yourself riot. So, I mean, it was weird watching this movie that, and especially with Joe Biden and the senile Joe in the White House and it, stolen elections. I feel like the country's kind of falling apart at the seams here, as far as our institutions. And this movie really creeped me out. But it really made me, I'm telling you, last night, I'm watching that movie and I'm thinking, God, I don't have enough ammo. I haven't felt, I know a lot of friends who have stockpiled a lot more ammo than I have. And I have some, I mean, if my house was raided by the police for something, the news media would report that I have caches of weapons and arsenals, you know, but then if I had one of my gun collector friends come over, they would scoff at how little ammo I have in reserve. You know, maybe for every gun I own, I might have at a minimum a couple hundred rounds, and at a maximum, you know, maybe 1,000 rounds for each caliber that I have. And again, some friends of mine would laugh because, I mean, I have friends that probably have 1,000 rounds of each caliber, and they consider that low. But yeah, watching that movie last night called No Escape, it creeped me out enough to, I just thought, I don't have enough ammo. I don't have enough, because it was real. It just, you made it feel. So anyway, so then what happens is this guy goes back to his hotel and he realizes that the reason that these groups are rioting is because of his company that's there. They're going to contract with the government to take over the water supplying water to the city. And the locals don't like it. They think that they're outsiders coming in here to, you know, poison their water or something. And so the violence, the unrest, they're actually after like him and his fellow coworkers, employees who are over there that are going to be contractors. And it just so happens there's a welcome poster in the lobby of his hotel saying welcome, you know, in his name. It's in the foreign country language. But so now the foreigners there know who he is and know that he's public enemy number one, that they're trying to catch him and these other people that work for his company. So his wife and his kids, you know, he's going to be living here for a while to work for this company and handle their Southeast Asia division. And they're in their hotel room, and then this rioting starts, and then they start trying to breach the hotel lobby. And then his daughter's down at his young daughter went down to the pool by herself. So he's running through the lobby or running through the hotel, trying to get to his daughter, and the various parts of the hotel, they're starting to get sieged by these rebel protesters. And the movie plotline goes on, but then as you're going through this movie, other things happen. And I'm thinking, like, these rebels, some of them, they come after them. And then one of them, he has to dispatch with a floor lamp, bludgeons the guy to death. And I'm saying to myself, Jesus, take the guy's gun. And so this guy, Owen Wilson's character, he won't take the gun. There's multiple instances in this where he had the chance to get his hands on firearms and he won't do it. And I'm just sitting there screaming at the TV because this movie is like, you know, they call it the willful suspension of disbelief. You know, it's just a movie, but that's why movies work, because they're realistic enough to make you know that even though this is fake, you know that it could be real. And with that said, even when people watch science fiction, it's enough to the character connection, the character development's enough to make you feel like you believe it. You suspend your disbelief of recognizing this isn't real, this is fiction, and your emotions react as if it was real. It's amazing. Walt Disney's one of the people that figured that out, that you could do it with animation, because he always wondered, could people emotionally connect with animation? And they did. I think, I forget if it was Fantasia or whatever his first, but some of his Mickey Mouse cartoons, and we saw people could emotionally connect with animation. He knew he was onto something. So yeah, so I'm watching this movie and it just, besides the fact that it was just a constant reminder to me to, my God, why wouldn't you want to be, this is why you know, thank God we have the Second Amendment. And then I don't have enough ammo stored. I'm also mindful that, you know, this kind of thing, this country could turn to that very quickly, and has for some people in some cities. And hey, Lon just logged into the chat. Lon, good to see you. But then the other piece of it was, I don't know if it was intentional. It probably was. But the fact that this guy, through all his efforts to get, so essentially then the plot line is the guy's got to get his family to, first they want to get to the American embassy where they can get transported to safety. Then they find out the embassy was breached. So then they want to get to this river and take a boat to float short ways down the river, because then they're going to be in Vietnam. So again, I don't know what country they were actually in. If it was like, I don't know what borders Vietnam, is it Laos or, but that was the plot line of the movie. So, but throughout this whole movie where he's trying to, oh, then there's one part where they get cornered and by these rebels, and then they catch them in this hiding in this guy's garden area of his this neighborhood, and they go to, but they find him and his wife, and one of the rebels is about to rape his wife right in front of him. And it's intense. It was an intense movie. I wondered if the fact that they never had him, the main character, pick up any one of the guns that ended up laying around. There was one part where there's a helicopter that they're in the hotel. They all from their hotel rooms, as this hotel is getting breached from the bottom with these rebels, they go up to the roof, and then a bunch of the Americans and the people that are in the hotel are barricaded up on the roof. And then all of a sudden they hear a helicopter coming. They think the helicopter is coming to rescue them. It turns out it's a helicopter with the rebels in it. They start opening fire on them. Then the helicopter gets too close to the roof and catches a rotor on one of the cables supporting the hotel sign, and the helicopter crashes into the roof. And the first thing I said to my fiance is, run and grab, because the guy in there had an AK-47. Run and grab that goddamn gun. Then you got a gun. Then you can protect, you know. But no point throughout the movie does he ever pick up one of the guns that's left laying around. So I don't know if that was intentional, because that's too much of a context of support for armed citizens in the Second Amendment. And that's just not something that they'd want to have in a movie, a character picking up a gun and using it to defend himself and his family. That's a little too Second Amendment for the libs in Hollywood. but yeah, so that's what I'm watching that movie, and it just sat there. In fact, I almost texted one of my friends who, my friend Phil, who he catches the podcast from time to time. I almost texted Phil last night while I'm watching this movie and said, I don't have enough ammo, because that's just how that movie made you feel. So anyway, next thing I was going to talk about tonight, and I don't have a lot tonight. I only put an hour in for the show because I didn't have a whole bunch of things here. But the next thing I want to talk about was something I saw in the news today, that Trump is going to be launching. Actually, I got two things left. Trump and the pandemic. I heard Trump's going to be launching his own social media platform, and which I'm looking forward to. I think that's a good thing. I'm obviously banned from Fascist Book, and Fascist Book is just massive censorship and massive algorithm manipulation. It's not a place for free people. I don't call on or expect people to close down their Facebook page, though I know several people that have closed down their Facebook pages because they just don't trust it. So, but I'm not sitting there. I mean, I know Facebook's the 12,000-pound gorilla in the room. It's the big platform. It's the convenient one. All your friends are on, all your high school friends are on. I'm not expecting people to, ditch Facebook. But I am surprised how few people, especially among the Wisconsin Carry membership, have established a presence. And even how many conservatives in general haven't gone ahead and established a presence over here on MeWe, which I think is pretty well regarded as the second largest Facebook-like. There's also Gab, but Gab doesn't have as many users as MeWe. I think MeWe has I think MeWe is four or five times the size of Gab, maybe even bigger. But Trump is launching his own social media platform, and I didn't hear any details on it, but I think it's a positive thing. MeWe, I am disappointed more people haven't established a presence on it, not expecting people to go cold turkey on Facebook or delete their Facebook profile, but just I'm surprised with all the censorship and the people that have been in Facebook jail. I'm just surprised more people haven't said to themselves, I should really start establishing my network over on MeWe, so that if Facebook really does go to the shitter, I contend it already is, but if it goes even more to the shitter, I've got my contacts established somewhere else. So I'm kind of surprised that not more people have. So I don't want to say I'm disappointed in MeWe, but I'm just disappointed it hasn't taken off more. It's just not getting the traction. And maybe it still will. I've also heard some hints of censorship coming from MeWe. Nothing that I've personally vetted, but just things I've read in the media where, I heard that this group was removed from MeWe, reading that on a mainstream media type site. But as an example, some of these militia groups, I know MeWe has moved a couple of these militia type groups. And I have two thoughts on that. First, I don't expect any platform to embrace these militia type groups. There's just no realistic expectation for that. I mean, if if you're doing, so people that are now sour on MeWe because they've banned a couple of these or booted a couple of these militia groups, come on, you got to be realistic that no mainstream commercialized social media platform is going to allow those militia type groups. And I'll say more on that in a second. But so again, my two thoughts is first, I don't expect any of these mainstream platforms to embrace militia group, to want their platform to be used by militia groups. That's just not realistic. It's not going to happen. But the second thing is if you're doing a real, and I'm not a big, you know, you guys know me, if you've heard me talk about this, I'm not into the whole militia thing. But if you're doing a real militia group, I have to say, what the fuck are you doing it on a mainstream social media platform for? Now, I've said for many years that the next revolution won't look like the last one. The Second Amendment, it, as a guard against tyranny, I don't know. I think the ship has sailed in terms of that, like, 1775 fascination with revolution. I think the Second Amendment is still a valuable thing, obviously. I mean, I'm the president of Wisconsin, Kerry, but so I still think the Second Amendment is a valuable thing for self-defense. I mean, 100%, even more so than ever. I mean, recall my comments at the start of the show or the last topic about that movie, No Escape. It really made me feel like, yeah, thank God we have the Second Amendment here in this country. But riots, police, I mean, we saw last summer, they can't or won't protect you. You're on your own. So notwithstanding that the next revolution in this country, if there is one, it won't look like the last one. I've told people that for years. These people who think that the next revolution is going to look like 1775 is just not going to happen. The government is too big to, it has to be. I've always talked about the law and order revolution. I think the next revolution, people that think that the next revolution is going to look like 1775 all over again, where 3% of the people were, I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's possible, but I always talk about a law and order revolution where I thought the states with these Republican-controlled state houses and states that have their fiscal house in order, and then they're sending so much more to Washington, D.C. in taxes than they're getting back from the federal government in aid and grants and whatever have you. Or in other aspects of the federal government just got so overrun. And I think we're there. I mean, I think we're there with stolen elections and these other things. But the law and order revolution would be something like, you know, governor of Wisconsin says, hey, the federal government's out of control. When you, and money controls everything. When you, this year, when you file your federal taxes, we're passing a state law or an executive order that those taxes, and again, there's some mechanism for this, but the Wisconsin is going to hold those taxes in escrow. You still have to file them, but Wisconsin is going to hold your taxes in escrow. And we're not giving that money to the feds until the feds get themselves back in line. Wisconsin has a court system. Wisconsin has a Department of Revenue. Wisconsin has, you know, all of the pieces in place to be able to be, to operate like a country in essence. So I think if there's going to be some kind of bold revolution in the future, that's how, what it would be. It would be the states rebelling against the federal government. That kind of, I call it a law and order revolution, where the state guarantees the people of its, you know, as long as you file your federal income taxes with the state of Wisconsin, we're going to hold that money in escrow till the feds do what we want or start behaving it within the constitutional bounds, constitutional framework. And then we have a National Guard. Every state has a National Guard. So we're going to use that National Guard to provide, I mean, if the feds ever try to come to Wisconsin and start forcing people to, or arresting people for paying their taxes to the state of Wisconsin instead of the feds, you know, we'll provide support for that. So that's the kind of potentially, if there's going to be some bold revolution, I see it more like that, some kind of law and order revolution, not some chaos anarchy revolution like I think some people fantasize about. So again, I do think it's possible there's some kind of bold revolution, but it would be some, like I said, I term it a law and order revolution, where it would be like the states rebelling against the federal government but maintaining their operational capacity as a state. Or it could be, I mean, if you sink down to it, could be counties and municipalities rebelling against the state. I mean, if you're in some liberal, like Illinois, did you know Illinois is an extremely conservative state? it's just dominated by Chicago. But if you go to outstate Illinois, I mean, they are gun-toting, Second Amendment-supporting, Trump-supporting folks. You know, and there's probably a couple other small, Springfield, which is the state capital. But outside of that, I mean, Illinois is a very conservative state, but dominated by Chicago and the suburbs, the Chicagoland area. So I could even see a state like that where some of these conservative parts of the state say, hey, on the governmental level, the county level, we're going to tell the state pound sand. We're going to have people file their persons, their state income taxes with the county, and the county's going to hold them in escrow. And we've got our county sheriff, we've got our own law and order, we've got our county court system, and we're not playing ball with the state until. So I could see that kind of a revolution being feasible in 2020. You know, in the 21st, are we 21st? Yeah, we're 21st century now. Yeah, 21st century. I could see that kind of revolution being at least possible. Let's see here. I think we went ahead. Zach says in a couple of weeks, his account's going to be deleted on Facebook. Yeah, I wish there was more like you, Zach. And again, I'm not even pushing people. Like, if I still had it, I would still be on Facebook if they hadn't booted me. But I would be. But after what happened after the election, because I was booted on election day, but believe you me, after election day, I would have been establishing alternate. I'd already established a MeWe page for myself back in 2018. But after what's happened on election day, I would have been, well, and I did, I saw this coming. I started pushing Wisconsin Carry's Facebook group on MeWe, the MeWe Wisconsin Carry Facebook group. I started pushing that during the summer. I started pushing Parler during the summer. Wisconsin Carry had a Parler page. I started pushing that. I started pushing Wisconsin Carry's MeWe page. And after the election, I would have just even more so been pushing for that. But I'd still keep my Facebook page just because, well, for me, I'd be able to still admin the Wisconsin Carry group and then daily push people over to the MeWe page. So, that said, I understand. I mean, I do have friends who just totally nuked their Facebook account completely. But yeah, back to this. So I do think there's a potential for like these law and order type of revolutions. These people who are down on MeWe because MeWe doesn't support militia groups. And that's the, you know, again, no platform, not even Gab. Look, if Gab started getting used for these militia groups, they're eventually going to get shut down too. It's just, so, but my point is, notwithstanding the fact that the next revolution won't look like the last one. And again, I just explained my law and order revolution scenarios that I think are possible. Back to my original comments, a militia group that has that 1775 mentality that we're just going to start taking up guns. I would say to myself, if that's your mentality, if you think that MeWe, or you're looking for a mainstream social media platform that's going to allow you to have that militia type group on it, I'd say, what the fuck are you using third party social media platforms for? I mean, to me, that seems like rookie wannabe stuff. If you're a true believer in that militia mentality, that 1775 militia, and I'm not, but if for those people that are, you know, that your Boogaloo boys and your Boogaloo, the people, some of those guys, I mean, I even ran to them on Wisconsin Carry Facebook, fascist book group. Some of them really are. They're just sitting there waiting. They're just drooling, waiting for the next revolution. They want to play war with their AR-15s, and then they're happy if anarchy was to turn out. That's not me. I don't think it's feasible. I don't think it's realistic, and I don't think people realize that kind of a revolution would not be romantic. And people have this fantasy romanticized vision of 1775, and I'm telling you, if that was to happen here today, I mean, look at the riots from last summer and put that in every city and every state across the country. If that kind of unrest existed, you would spend all your time, forget your standard of living, your ability to go have leisure, to go play golf, to go, you know, hike with your family, to go to a sporting event. You're going to be spending all your time guarding your own house from looters. Where do you think people in the inner city, when they don't get government check and they don't get, you know, there's no food in the convenience stores throughout the inner city have all been burned and looted to the ground, and the business owners left and abandoned them. Where do you think people in the inner city are going to go looking for food? The suburbs. And when the suburbs and the stores here don't have it, they're going to be looking to, they're going to come to the big fancy neighborhoods and then some of the not so fancy neighborhoods and start looking to. So, I mean, do you want to spend your day 24/7 guarding your own property just to be able to exist so it doesn't, you know, that's what it would be. And so these people, these militia type fantasizers, I mean, and I'm not one of them. That's why I'm not one of them. I just, there's no salvation there. But if that's your mentality, if people are wanting, and they're down on MeWe because MeWe or any other platform is going to kick off that kind of group, I'd say to myself, what are you using public social media platforms for your quote militia group? That seems like rookie wannabe stuff. I mean, it seems like if you were really serious about wanting to have some kind of militia group that was actually going to do something, you'd want to be on the dark web with some truly anonymous methods, not some public Facebook, MeWe, Gab. I mean, those aren't the places to have. And again, I don't support those. I don't share that mentality that that's where our salvation is as a country. We need another revolution. You know, the founding father said a little revolution is, you know, needed now and then. The tree of freedom must be watered with the blood of. I don't remember who. I don't want to misquote, but. But so I've read about militia groups getting booted from MeWe. So where I'm going with this, I'm still trying to assess as the president of Wisconsin, Kerry, where's the best place to be for our social media presence. And I still feel like it's MeWe. Again, I've read on mainstream media reports about some of these, quote, militia groups getting booted from MeWe. That gets my attention, but I'm not going to totally turn sour on MeWe because of it, for all the reasons I just stated. No intelligent, realistic person should expect that these commercialized social media platforms are going to embrace your 1775 fantasies. And if that's your standard for a social media platform, is someone that's going to allow those militia-type groups to proliferate, you're just not being reasonable. And again, I'd say, what are you doing on social media? I mean, the government would be watching all that stuff. You should be, if you're serious about that kind of mentality, you should be on, you know, the dark web and with anonymous IP-less a computer. Yeah. So what I've not yet verified, and again, I'll call them mainstream, but if mainstream conservative activist groups are getting booted from MeWe, I would consider Wisconsin Kerry a mainstream conservative activist group. Are we right wing? Of course. But we advocate the legal means, the rule of law. We advocate for change through the legal process. And that's always been Wisconsin Kerry's position. If you don't believe in, and there are people that have given up on the legal process. There's people that have given up on this being settled peacefully. They've given up on the, you know, voting and relying on the courts and all these other things to restore freedom. They've given up on that. And so if that's you, fine. I mean, but that's not Wisconsin Kerry. So what I have yet to verify is if the mainstream conservative activist groups are getting booted from MeWe, because I don't think that they are. And again, by mainstream, I mean the groups whose focus is using legal means at all levels of government, county, municipal, state, to restore the republic. So this rumor that Trump's going to start his own social media platform, Trump would have the resources and the network to scale a large social media platform. And I hope he does it because, again, MeWe just hasn't like totally – MeWe's taken off but not soared. I mean, it's – I thought after the election and after Trump was banned from Twitter and stuff and banned from Facebook, I thought MeWe was going to just – And MeWe did take off. I mean, it became like the most downloaded app and some other things. But I haven't – and my friends are very conservative people, and I haven't seen this mass exodus – and I don't mean exodus from Facebook. I haven't seen this mass adoption of MeWe. And again, maybe my friends are – you know, they're going on Gab or something, and I just haven't seen them. But I'm just talking about – I mean, I think I had – at one time I had like 900 and some Facebook friends, which then I called it because I'm like, a lot of these people I've never met. Nothing personal. But if I've never met you, I took people off. There was Wisconsin Kerry members that friended me on Facebook. I took those off. And so I got to a point where I just, I got to a point where I just called that down to about 450 friends, and those are pretty conservative people. And again, I think I have maybe 50 contacts on MeWe now, so a lot of people haven't moved over, you know, didn't move over, that kind of thing. But so I'm hoping that if Trump was to put together some kind of social media platform, that would be enough of a draw that all these people would flock over to it, and I would too, and Wisconsin Kerry would as well. So so that's my just that rumor today that I saw that Trump was. And I hope if Trump establishes a social media network or social media platform, it's more like fascist book, more like Facebook versus Twitter, because Parler is already kind of like a duplicate of Twitter. But Parler, just I like the Facebook type where you've got groups, and you know, just I like the way that that's set up better than the Twitter kind of feed that doesn't have the same mechanism, doesn't have the same navigation, doesn't have the same layout, doesn't have the same structure. So we've only got 3 minutes in the show left tonight, and so I don't have time to do my last. My last topic tonight was going to be, as the pandemic, quote, winds down. I have some thoughts looking back on this thing, but that's I've got a long topic here. I wrote a lot of notes on that. So, but that's an evergreen story that'll still be good next week. So I'm probably going to start next week's show with that. My thoughts as the pandemic winds down, looking back, because last year at this time was when we were right in the middle of our lockdowns, right in the middle of all the bullshit, right in the middle of all of the 2 weeks to slow the spread. I mean, look at what that turned into. And with that said, if anybody's listening, I think I actually deleted them all, because when I have them, I stored them. I should put some of those up because I can just upload episodes. I should put some of those up on here, because I think if you listen to what I said last year at this time and all the predictions I made, because there was a lot of conservatives that were freaking out last year at this time as well. They really believed, they really fell and played into the coronanoia bullshit. But I think, maybe I should put some of those up or even go listen to them myself and rehash them here a year later, because I think my call was pretty goddamn straight on when I said that this was being totally overblown, totally politicized, totally, used for political purposes, that if there was a Democrat last president last year, I believe we wouldn't have seen any of this stuff that we've seen. I believe we wouldn't have seen the lockdowns. We wouldn't have seen this mass paranoia. Is it still a thing? Sure, it's still a thing, just like swine flu was a thing when Obama was president. Is coronavirus more deadly than swine flu? I'm not so sure. I don't know if the evidence is out there. Now they're saying that the flu has disappeared. Well, there's no way the flu disappeared. There's no doubt in my mind that they're counting flu cases as coronavirus cases. There's no doubt in my mind that people that are dying of coronavirus or supposedly of coronavirus were actually dying of the flu, because people die of the flu every year. So anyway, I'll get into that more next week, but I just think here we are 1 year later, and look what that 2 weeks to slow the spread turned into, huh? A whole year of lockdowns and businesses destroyed, and the economy destroyed and rebuilt, and now they're trying to be destroyed again by Biden. Well, it's not by Biden, it's by the Obama-Harris administration. But all right, well, that's the show for tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks, Tommy. Tommy said great show again. Nick, thanks. No, I appreciate it. Lon, thanks for tuning in. Zach, thanks for tuning in. Next week, we'll start the show with that topic on the pandemic, and we'll see what happens from there. You guys have a great week. Carry on. Be well armed.
Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.